Good morning. I'm John Coffey, and welcome to this morning's conversation. Earlier, I had a chance to talk with Eldenika Roll, a Bahamian student at Northwest Missouri State University, who told me how her family dealt with Hurricane Dorian in early September. Talk about how the hurricane has personally affected you and your family.
So the Bahamas was, you know, always hit by hurricanes every so often. The main northern islands, I would say, get hit most often than others. And Grand Bahama was the island that the storm sat over for more than 36 hours, I think they said it was. And we had already been hit by previous storms, which we had never recovered from. So that has taken a toll on my family with the economic value. I think it dropped. And I had an extended family member. Her sister passed away. She went out to sea with the waves, they said. I also had an extended aunt in Abaco. She lost her home and so forth. My mom's old principal lost everything, and my mom had a coworker that died along with her two twin boys, and I think they were 3 years old. And then some of my aunts and uncles, they had a lot of severe flooding. Our home only got wind damage because we're on the south side of Grand Bahama. And the south end didn't get that big flooding because the water came in from the north and the east side. And so right now, my family is affected by the standings of the economy, whereas in we don't have running water that's, you know, pure enough to drink, bathe, brush your teeth. They're using water bottles and so forth. And food is rationing. You know, some of these stores were hit hard. Some places, people are struggling. So they're relying on the government, which is, I mean, if everyone's relying on the government, you know, that can become a big problem, especially if things can't be pushed out in time for people, you know. So they're struggling on that end.
Have you had a chance to talk to your family much since the hurricane hit?
Yes, I have been able to keep in touch with my family. So I have an older brother and I have two younger sisters. My father passed away a long time ago, and I have my mother. She's still here. And so I've been in constant communication with my mother and my sisters. They live together. My older brother does not live with them, but they've been keeping me up to date with, like, their progress and stuff. I was also able to talk to my aunt, my extended aunt from Abaco. Her name is Greta. She told me that they're doing okay, even though, like, they lost everything. And so that was good. I think I was able to speak with all of my family members, like my mother's brothers and sisters that had flooding in their homes and so forth. There may be one of them that I was not able to talk to find out how they're doing, but it's a sad state. It's bad. And then we had a big oil spill. I don't know if you heard about that. So the east end of our island has, like, this big oil spill, and they are trying to plan a strategic plan to get the oil spill up, but we've never had such a disaster. And so everybody's just trying to figure out, you know, how they're gonna come to a solution with getting it all up. And that's taking a toll on them. And, you know, you hear about storms and the damage that they do, but I think the damage is having to live through what the state is after the storm.
And has your family gotten any idea how long it's going to take to make, obviously getting back to what was considered normal is going to be a long time away, but to get just some of the basic services back, has there been any idea on how when that's going to take place?
So good news on that end. Our power company, which is Grand Bahama Power Company, they brought in help from Orlando. So it's a power company that partnered with Grand Bahama Power Company. They came down with their trucks, and they have been restoring power to certain areas. So most, like, I guess I would say at about 80 to 85% of homes are, like, fully damaged with water. And so, of course, all areas won't be re-energized. They have to have building inspections and so forth. And then some places that deal with insurance, they've been underwater as well. So the time frame in which it'll take to build back up to normalcy, man, it's gonna take some time. I heard a comment where someone said, you know, the damage was generational. It'll take another generation for it to be back, you know, how it was. And there are some people saying, you know, don't say negative things of such, but when you look at the reality of it, it is what it is. So it's going to take some time.
And when's the last time that there's been, you've had to worry about a hurricane in the area where you live?
So in 2016, we had Hurricane Matthew, and that was a Category 4, and I think at that time, that was the strongest storm that we had to deal with, and we had to evacuate the area. I was home for that storm, so we went inland, and like I said, the wind damage, we have a washout on the side of our house. The roof has all sorts of holes where it peeled up, and then my window had like a plywood over it that flew off during the storm, so my room never recovered. It was damaged, you know, water and so forth. Like I said, we were already having financial struggles and a financial fight, and so that was the last time we dealt with something where it was devastating. We also had roof damage where we call it tin roof. Some of the strips peeled up from Matthew, and so we had like leaking and so forth. That was the last time. This storm did wind damage as well, but we just didn't have that severe flooding. We always are told to evacuate because we live right in front of the beach with all that water and the surge that they speak about. But thankfully, we haven't had that water damage, you know. I mean, and it feels so bad saying thankfully because so many other people have it. You feel, you know, you feel bad, or it's a feeling of guilt that, hey, wow, my home stood and you lost everything.
I imagine too, just living through experiencing the hurricane is something that people around here have no experience whatsoever. And of course, the tornadoes can hit from time to time, but just kind of talk about what it's like to be in the middle of a hurricane.
Ooh, I gotta breathe because taking yourself back there and then thinking about what they went through, I may cry, it's bad. The sound of the wind, it's like a monster, you know? It's bad. Like you can hear destruction. You can't sleep throughout the night. It's howling and you don't know if you're gonna be safe in the morning. It's bad. And I just can't imagine what they went through, you know, having to swim out to get out of homes because the water came up as far as the roof, or being stuck in the attic and you don't know if the wind will blow the roof off because they've had, I think the gust was like 200 and something, and it's only so much between the levels of a catastrophic storm, you know. And if a Cat 5 was like 157 and they said a Cat 4 was about, I think it's about 130 or 140. That's no big gap. So the jump from 157 to 220, man, could you imagine what category that really was out there? Just being in a Category 4 storm, when you look outside, because the storm that I was in with Matthew, one of the windows we hadn't covered, we just nailed it down to be able to see if, like, water was coming or how bad the damage would be in case we needed to evacuate. You know, you don't want to trap yourself in, and I think that's what caused a lot of the passing away with folks at home this time, too, being trapped in, or the whole house collapsing or the roof flying off and so forth. But could you imagine, you look outside and the only thing you can see is white, no homes, and you know colors in front of you. There are green trees out there. There are homes that are brown or red, and the only thing you can see outside is white. And we were in the midst of like tornadoes. You have tornadoes constantly throughout the whole storm as that system is moving over you, blowing out homes, lifting foundations. You know, we have our building code, we build with like blocks. And there were buildings that there was nothing to tell that a building was there. The whole foundation was carried away in that storm. And that was only probably 140-something miles per hour wind. And I stress, it sounds like a monster. You ask the children back home, you know, how was it going through the storm? And the only thing they can tell you was that was a monster outside their home. And adults, the same thing. It's that bad.
Mm. I know. I'm certainly glad that your family, your immediate family is okay. And that has to be a huge relief for you, I would imagine.
Huge relief. I stayed up until 4 a.m. watching CNN, CBS, NBC, just flipping back and forth to Channel 7 News, just keeping up to date with what each one had to say about the storm and where it was. And I think the most gut-wrenching part of, you know, staying up was the fact that I figured by that next day, so it came September 1st, I figured by wee hours September 2nd, the storm would be moving off of Grand Bahama, and the storm sat there stationary at a Cat 5 until it dropped to about a Cat 4, Cat 3, and then started to move at 1 mile per hour. It was horrible. And the only thing I was able to do was sit there and pray that my family would reach out to me and say, we're okay.
How soon was it before you were able to hear from your family?
I heard from them when the storm started to move. And so there was a telephone service that stood up throughout the storm. The telephone service was alive. We have our service, BTC. That was our first service that the island had alive as their new, like, competitor. BTC went down because downtown and their plants, or I don't know what the names would be, what you would call them, but their operation centers, they went underwater. Alive, they stood up, but it was so much people pulling on that one tower, you know, the service was in and out. It's a miracle that that service stayed up, but my family, they weren't getting good connection, and then, you know, you have to keep turning your phone on and off because the time that you take to be on the phone, the battery's dying, you know there's not gonna be power and so forth. And they assured me that, you know, the storm was still there. They can still hear the wind howling and so forth. When the eye went over though, there were some civilians back home that went out on jet skis and boats, and they saved people out of the attic and so forth. I'm a bridge in Diedrich as well, and I also did a presentation on it and showed the students, because, you know, you guys have storms too. You guys have tornadoes, and I know the damage it did to me mentally, and so I wanted people to stay prepared and know that, you know, there is places you can go to talk to people, like the Wellness Center on campus. Anybody in a high place, like the hall director, or even your professor, you know, because people come here and they've had such a natural disaster back home and they won't talk about it. You know, I met a girl from Nepal. She's an RA, Malika. She came here, and before she came here, she went through an earthquake. And so there are students dealing with the same thing as me, and so I heard stories about snowstorms where students get stuck and it's that bad, you guys get power outages and so forth. And then the polar vortex, I think it was called, that happened in the spring, I heard people die from that as well. And so I think speaking about it and making sure you're well through it all is key. It's important.
Well, just tell us a little about your time at Northwest. What drew you to the university? And I understand you're getting close to graduation here.
Yes, I am. So I call Northwest my safe haven. I wanted to come here to see snow, and I ended up falling in love with the school. So Northwest partners with the community college that I went to back in the Bahamas. It's called Bahamas Institute of Business and Technology. And Dr. Phil had went to the Capitol, Nassau, and he did a presentation, you know, encouraging students to try and come and study abroad, get the experience, further their education here, and get, you know, more benefits, because you guys have a variety of programs we don't have back home. So I came over, and I thought it would just be a different feel, you know, being far away from home. I wanted to be able to focus more, so I didn't want to be where I was close to home and, you know, living that normal go, go, go. And so coming here, it's quiet. You can find places where it's loud, but most of the time it's quiet, it's peaceful. I work in the student affairs office over across from the fireplace in the union. I also work in the registrar's office, so I'm kind of all over campus. And then I've just gotten a position to be a bridge for Deidre Call in the Res Life staff, and they have all been a support system for me, I must say. They have all been a support system for me throughout this time. I'm also affiliated with the Lighthouse Point. They are a second safe haven for me. I went there to do Bible study and stuff like that, just keeping myself grounded spiritually. And they have been an awesome help as well, starting up something to help out the families back home in the Bahamas along along with Res Life here on campus. Mr. Mike Miller, those, Ms. Karen Yarnell.
All right. Well, again, I appreciate you taking time out to tell your story. It's an impressive story, and I wish you the best of luck and graduation around the corner for you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
That was Eldenika Roll on how her family dealt with hurricanes this year, her past experience with hurricanes, now life at Northwest Missouri State University is a safe haven for her. I'm John Coffey, and that's your Morning Conversation.